Well, good morning, church. Give me a wave out there. It's always good to connect with you. I can't get to the back and up and down and left. Yeah, that's what I love it. I love the connection. Good to connect with you. You've noticed that a lot of my Sundays have been in our Malforce congregation as I'm as senior or lead pastor. I look after both congregations and we're transitioning some things there. So a lot of my time is spent there. But I miss you guys and I love being here this morning. Absolutely delightful. Keep pressing on is what I want to talk about this morning. The word the Lord deposited in my heart. You see, last week we highlighted new seasons are the reality of life. In fact, Ecclesiastes makes it very clear that there's a season for every activity under the heavens. You know, nothing is permanent. Things change. Just look at yourself in the mirror and say, Jesus, is this really true? Or somebody else sees you at a school reunion and they say, hello, Fred, my name is Pedro. Oh, you've changed. Of course I've changed. Because nothing's permanent. God built in seasons. The real issue is how we handle the change of seasons. You see, God wants you to embrace 2018 with a level of expectancy. In the scriptures, in Isaiah chapter 43, he says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And then he makes a very important statement. He says, do you not see it? And so often we can't see it because we're looking behind us. Now, it's very important that you reverse your car from the your parking lot, whatever, and you look in the rearview mirrors. But what a tragedy if you ride down the N1 or the N7 constantly looking in your rearview mirror and not looking what's ahead of you. So there's the expectancy and there's the seeing of the new things. God wants you to have an open heart. He wants you to have an open attitude. And an attitude that says, Lord, you're going to do things in me. You're going to do things through me. His purposes and His plans have been designed for you already. That's what the scripture says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you. Not you know the plans God has. No, you follow the plans God has for you. I know the plans. Laid out very clearly for you. But as much as I'm aware that we are called to embrace and we are called to live with expectancy in 2018, I'm not naive to believe that there are no challenges that you will face. And that's why we're preaching into the series of Stand. How to stand in 2018. Last week, we spoke into that. How you to stand. There were three clear words that God had shared with Barbie and I. And as we sat looking at what we wanted to share to our congregations and Edge Church, first thing that was very clear is that God wanted us to remain rooted in Him. John 15, the word remain means to abide, to stay focused with me. The second word that God dropped was to remember. Remember the things I've done for you. Remember how I brought you out. The constant refrain in the Old Testament and in the New is to remember. That's why we break bread, because we remember. And the third word that God really clearly brought to me was that we are to rest. That means to wait on God. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for Him to act. So often we act without waiting. We feel under pressure to be proactive. Now in the first service I mentioned it was Noah's daughters. It was actually Lot's daughters in Genesis chapter 19. They got to a place where they realized they weren't going to bear children because there were no men where they were living. They take things in their own hands and they sleep with their father. Two tribes are born from that. One is the Moabites and the other one is the Ammonites. Not the big corn bites either. Just the Moabites and the Ammonites. Those two became the constant enemy of Israel forever. In fact, you can read scripture, they have overcome the Philistines, they overcome the tribes of Gad, but they struggled to overcome the Ammonites and the Moabites. They were a constant enemy to them. So whenever you take things into your own hands and you have to wait, he says, wait patiently. Well, God, that's a tough one for me to act. But you see, I believe going forward, you will face challenges that will make you want to quit 2018's journey. Circumstances will come against you. You'll want to walk away, even maybe walk away from Jesus. And God speaks to his people that he wants them to press on. I want to talk to us this morning, a word that God dropped in my heart. Pedro, I want you to press on. I want you to persevere. In spite of difficulties, in spite of opposition, in spite of failure, in spite of setbacks. And when the temptation comes for you to quit and you'll be tempted to say, this is too much for me. I'm so discouraged. I'll throw in the towel and I'll walk away. You may feel like that at times in your marriage. You may feel like that in your work. You feel like that even, don't tell anybody, even in the church. Because you know, sitting next to you, just have a look quickly. Flesh and blood. I don't see any angels sitting on these chairs here this morning. Or Bobby, maybe a... No, no. You see, people are the church. Now, there's a saying that I grew up in when I was learning an African language in Namibia. They would say, Vantu Vavantu, which means people, people. Afrikaans is the best one. Mense. Die mense. The reality is we are flesh and blood. And you will want to quit because of people. You want to quit because the life gets too tough. I want to teach this morning on pressing on. Are you open to that? Put your hand over your heart this morning. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you take words, just words that I'm not the Holy Spirit, I'm just your messenger. Would you take the message this morning and make it alive, a word for each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at the life of Paul. As I was preparing, I was so overwhelmed that this man, flesh and blood, weaknesses like you and I, he wasn't a saint. The saints are those who have gone to be with Jesus. Angels live in there. They come and visit us and they go back. They don't want to live amongst us. They are heavenly beings. But this man, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12 tells us about some of the things he went through. He says, I've been in prison often, whipped more times than I can remember, faced death again and again. 5 times the Jews lashed me with 39 lashes. Only very, very rarely do people survive that. Beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked 3 times. Traveled long journeys, faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. Faced dangers from my own people and the Gentiles. Dangers in the cities, dangers in deserts and seas. Dangers from men who claim to be believers but are not. He says, I worked hard and long. I endured many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty. I've gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. But beside all of that, I had the daily burden and my concern for all the churches. What he was saying, you know, those things that come on the outside, they come upon me. But there's something in me that I cry, that I yearn. You know those feelings deep down inside that you have for your children? Now it's my granddaughter and granddaughters to come, or grandchildren to come in the future. That deep pain, he says, I felt that. I carry that with me. Paul, in spite of that, writes from a prison in Rome. He was imprisoned in Rome, and I'm going to highlight just two of those. He writes from a prison, and he's writing to the Philippians. I don't know what I would write. Please send me a bar one, please. Sugar diabetes doesn't matter now. I'm in prison. I don't know what he would write, what I would write. But he writes and he says, I have focused on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race. That word press on means actively pursuing. 6 years later, he's back in prison. This is his final words. He's in a deep, dark, dank cell. Alone. In the previous case, there were people around him. This will be his final words. From there, he would be led out and be executed, his head chopped off. Again, I ask, what did I write? Dear Barbie, dear children, I love you. I'm so missing you. I feel the pain of not having you. Nothing like that. Nothing of a last wish except one. He wishes to pass on something to his spiritual son called Timothy. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, he's writing to a young man that he mentored. He says, he's my true son in the faith. Now, Paul had many that had gone with him. There was Silas, there was John Mark, there were others who went with him. But this Timothy, Epaphroditus, they were all there. But this Timothy spoke of him. He says, I have no one else like him. Like a son with his father, he has served with me. He says, I want to leave something for you, my son. I want to leave you the words that will help you to press on. He says, these are the things that work for me. It is the most vulnerable writings ever written by Paul. It is the most nostalgic words ever written. It is the most moving. When I read this, I choked up. Can I read it to you? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 18. Watch the screens. Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left at Carpus at Troas, with Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books and especially my papers. I'm cold and I'm old. I left the coat behind, my favorite comfort coat. And the winter's coming, one of the translations says. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Paul is capturing his heart. He's flicking it open. He's saying to Timothy, if you want to make it, my boy, if you want to finish your race, if you want to press on, there are things I want you to know. I'm sharing what helped me push on. I'm sharing my deepest words with you. When I read that, I thought and reflected quite a bit. As I was preparing, I thought of my own father. I thought to myself, and I started recalling things, somehow only as I got older, that he had told me, that he had shown me, that he had modeled to me. But things I didn't realize then. I also thought of the many opportunities I missed from not learning from him, because maybe I thought I knew so much. I love what Mark Twain said. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I couldn't handle standing, handle him standing around me. But when I got to 21, I was astonished how much he had learnt in the last 7 years. Winston Churchill said, when I was 16, I thought my parents knew nothing. When I was 21, I was shocked to discover how much they had picked up over the last 5 years. You see, if you look back on your life, you see the things that are entrenched, values and principles that are in you, that were deposited there. Paul is saying, I want to leave something with you, son. Timothy, you're not going to make it. I want you to press on, son. I want you to know that these things that I'm telling you were part of my daily life. Please embrace them. And I appeal to you and I urge you, church, would you embrace these things? As you look at 2018 and you say, it looks like a challenge awaiting. I know there are challenges, but I'm going to ask you to press on and not quit and not walk away when you get discouraged and when it seems like it's not working. And if you get to that place where you say, I'm finished. There's no better word captured than the Afrikaans, which says, ek is op. Now, how do you say that in English? I'm up. It could be up or down. I'm klaar, finished, stikkend. There's no other words that capture that. Paul is saying these words. When you feel like quitting, I'm going to give you four things from this passage. Paul didn't realize that very shortly after he wrote this and the letter was sent, the guards would take him away and Nero would have his head on a block. Would you follow with me these four things? When Paul writes, he says in the opening line of verse 9, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Timothy, stay connected. Yeah. Don't try to do this thing on your own. Don't try this journey on your own, Timothy. Timothy, don't go it alone. Stay in community. Don't isolate yourself. When people disappoint you in the church, when people let you down, when you feel like just they failed me, Stay connected, Timothy. You're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to make it with me and my podcast and no one else around me, and I stay connected to the Word of God and I don't know people. That's not what the Bible teaches. Paul says, my daily concern for the church, and he defined the church as one another. People say, and I've been bitten in the church, I've been hurt in the church, and once bitten, twice shy, so I'm just gonna protect myself. Please, would you hear me? You're in danger. Paul is saying, don't do this. God's plan is never for you to be disconnected from the local church. Never. You see, Jesus had 12. Do you know, if you look at the 12, I wouldn't hang around with them, maybe. Imagine having a life group with someone who's a cheat. How about having a life group with someone who's a doubter? How about having someone who's got foot and mouth disease? All he does when he opens his mouth, he gets into more trouble. Can you imagine? He said, but I stuck with them. And when the time came, they all deserted me. All 12. We say Peter deserted Jesus. 12 left Jesus alone. He said, but I never quit on them. I stayed connected. If you're going to make this journey on your own, you're never going to make it on your own. You've got to stay connected. The African language that I learned in Luchaji, they use the phrase vantu va vantu, which really means mensa, mensa. People are people. I want you to look to someone sitting next to you. Will you do that right now? Just look at them. Just turn. You notice there are no angels sitting there, as I said before. As much as we want to be, we're just people who will let us down and disappoint us. Because we're people. Stay connected. C.S. Lewis, a great writer of Christian literature, said, to love is to be vulnerable. If you love anything or anyone, your heart will possibly be broken. If you want to keep it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal, to no one. What you must do is lock up your heart and put it in a coffin, because you're not living. You're simply existing. To love is to feel pain. To love is to know disappointments. I urge you, pursue relationships. Invite people into your world. Don't have a solo Christianity with you and Jesus alone. That's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. I urge you to sustain and pursue and persist with relationships. The second thing I want to say that Paul is trying to highlight, keep your eyes focused on Jesus, not people. Listen to what he says. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. He's gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. You see, the truth is what Paul is trying to say. Don't expect from people what only God can give you. Don't expect from people what only God can give you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. I was watching a clip one day when I remembered, or not remembered, I remembered watching a clip one day while I was preparing of a runner in Olympic Games who stumbled and fell and lost the race, and he was the favorite. And the commentary was, he looked back. he looked at the other runners. And the coach made this comment, and top athlete never looks at who's competing with him. He only runs his race. Why? Because when you're looking at others, you break your momentum. You break your stride and your rhythm. It affects your mindset and your mental space, and you will stumble. I've seen people come and I've seen people go. I've seen people fervent for God and then fall away because they kept their eyes on people and not Jesus. Because you see, you can't expect from people what only God can give you. It's the appeal that Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, I want you to be rooted in Jesus Christ, son. These things will happen. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19 says, therefore, we have fled to him for refuge, can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope, that's Jesus, is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. What he's saying is he'll never let you go. Man can only do so much, but my Jesus is the anchor of my soul. The third thing that I want to share with you this morning, verse 14 and 15 talks about a man called Alexander the coppersmith. And Paul writes these words, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done. Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said. Paul is trying to say, Timothy, people will come against you. Things will come against you. You will face opposition, but I want to tell you how you're going to solve it. Pray first. Take these things to God. If you fight in the flesh, you will not win. If you try to overcome evil with your own flesh, you will not overcome. He says, Timothy, I can tell you about these things that will come your way, but I can tell you what I wrote to the Ephesians church at Ephesus. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You can't fight certain battles. You don't have the resources, you don't have the strength, but God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or imagine, is able to do that. Can I have an amen on that? So whatever the issue is, the coppersmiths in your life, don't take a copper hammer and hit them. Take them to God. Take them to God. At work, that opposition you have, don't join the club and start gossiping and fighting about that. Take it to God. Make prayer your first priority, not your last option. That's what he used to pray first. He said, you're not going to win. He says, be careful of him, Alexander, the coppersmith. You're going to have coppersmiths in your life. Sometimes the coppersmiths are the people that are close to you. Would you take them to God? Yeah. Would you take your burden to God? I appeal to you and I urge you, parents, your desire for your children is great. God bless you. But I'm going to appeal to you to take your children to God. In your marriage, take your partner to God. You see, I've learned over the years, I can't fix anybody up. I can't even change people. But I can pray. I can take them to God and say, Lord, would you sort this out? Whew. They're getting too much for me now. Yeah. Would you sort this out? Yeah, the coppersmith, be careful of him. But would you take him to God, Timothy? Would you take him to God? And lastly, it's a word that when I read this, I was so overwhelmed. As I was meditating on these verses of a man that's writing from a prison, I thought, I better listen up here. Hold on to God's promises, Timothy. Hold on to God's promises. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 16 to 18. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. I went with him and me. You see, I had my eyes focused on Jesus. The coppersmith came against me. Demas, who was supposed to be with me, he's gone. But I'm not alone. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against him. He says, I have no bitterness. I have no grudge against these people. I've taken no offense. I've let it go. But the Lord stood with me. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever and ever. Amen. Not my own strength, not my own resources, not my ability to fix things. I take it to God. I focus on Jesus. I stay connected. I don't take offense with me. I don't say, oh, these people are a bit too much for me. I'm distancing myself. No, Timothy, don't you do that. Don't you do that. You stay connected. Timothy, you keep your eyes on Jesus, son. Timothy, you take it to God, pray first. And Timothy, hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises that God stood with me, he said. God gave me strength. You feel it's too much for you? He rescued me. He delivered me. And he will bring me safely. I want you to close your eyes as I end. There are times that things get too much for you. You think, if I just stayed with Jesus, I'll be okay. He says, no, I want you to stay connected to others too. I want you to take the burdens you carry to me. I don't know where you are today, but I've sensed in my spirit this since I prepared this message, since I've carried this burden for our congregations. I want to appeal to you this morning. Press on. Press on. Don't look at your age. Don't look at the time that you've got left. Look at the time you have now. He said, Pedro, I want to press on. I don't want to quit. You want to stand to your feet? It would be my joy, my pleasure to pray for you. You say, I'm one of those who want to press on. Would you just stand to your feet wherever you are? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It would be my joy because I'm standing with you. I want to press on. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give in. Father, look at those who are standing. They're not standing for me or my preaching. God forbid that would be the case. I say, we want to finish well. We want to press on. We don't want to give up. I pray for them as they stand this morning. Holy Spirit of God, seal and confirm everything in their life. And may the grace of God take them to the next and the next and the next. You may be seated quietly. And fathers, this morning you said, you know, I've never come to that place of responding to Jesus as my Savior. And today, I feel God talking to me. I want to pray for you, but I want you to pray to God first. I want you to invite Jesus into your life. It's my practice, and it will continue for years to come, and it will continue in the future. Jesus, would you come into my life? If that's your desire, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, pray it after me. Jesus, would you come into my life? Forgive me of my sins and my past. Today, I ask you to be my Lord, and I follow after you. You prayed that prayer like I prayed for others who stood. I'd love to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up in the air? Yes. Father, thank you. Thank you for the hands that I raised this morning, desiring to seek after you. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. Let's give God a praise offering, church. You were mentioned this.